Welcome back to Public Address Radio on Radio Live. We tend to assume that work to relocate endangered native birds to predator-free islands is an effort to return that species to its historic natural state. Well, yeah, but nah. One researcher has discovered that placing North Island saddleback birds on various islands over the past 50 years has resulted in those different populations developing distinctive and incompatible songs. To some extent, they effectively can't communicate with each other. It's a snapshot of a microevolutionary event, says Dr. Kevin Parker from the Institute of Natural Sciences at Massey Albany. Russell and I caught up with him earlier in the week.
Was this unexpected?
I guess in some ways it was. I mean, whenever we do shift birds, we do expect to get some changes. So genetic shifts are fairly well documented. But so far as I know, this is the first time where we've documented actual quite significant changes in song diversity as a result of translocations, conservation management.
Has this scale of difference been noted in studies elsewhere in the world?
Yes, so it has been noted elsewhere. The whole sort of concept of geographical variation in song has attracted a lot of research attention. But what's quite unique about this study is that we know the timescale in which it's occurred, and we also know exactly where the birds have come from. So in lots of other places overseas, you've been able to identify that the same species has quite different song in different areas, but we don't necessarily know when those birds got there or how long they've been there. In a translocated system, we know exactly when they got there, where they came from, and how many started the population.
And it's quite a tight time frame, isn't it? It's only 50 years.
Yeah, it's a very tight time frame, very tight.
Should we actually listen to these calls? Before we started talking, we played them, and they're quite pronounced differences. Can we hear those?
So that first song is from Hen Island or Taranga Island, which is off the Whangarei coastline, and that's actually the last remaining wild natural population of North Island saddlebacks. So by the early 60s, that was the only place where there was saddleback. And that particular call, about a quarter of the song types on Hen, there's about 20 different song types, have that very high-pitched structure to them.
Okay, next one.
So that particular song is from Red Mercury, and that's a population that was established with the translocation of 28 birds from memory in 1966.
This is moving birds, humans moving birds from one place to another.
Yeah. So the old New Zealand Wildlife Service, Don Merton actually, who recently passed away, he was very heavily involved in these translocations. And those birds were moved from Hen Island to Red Mercury. And you can see that particular song has elements of that first Hen song. You know, it's got some of the high pitch in it.
Oh, it's also got the rusty gates of the sound.
It does, yeah. It does, yeah.
Okay, and the third?
So that song is from Motuora Island, which is just off the Whakatane coastline, a whale island it's also known as. And that population there is actually a population that was established from a translocated population. So if you look at the ancestry of that particular population, those birds came from Kuvier Island, and the birds in Kuvier came from Hen Island. So you can see the structure of the song has changed quite different, and that sort of more sort of chattery, kind of cranking kind of style of call is more characteristic of those later translocated populations. Whereas that high-pitched song that you have on Hen Island, they're completely non-existent on
But they're all the same sort of song. They're all saying basically the same thing.
Yeah, so they sound differently, but functionally they're fulfilling the same purpose. It's a territorial song and presumably used for attracting a mate as well.
Now, the reason this is important, because there will be people out there going, look at you, wasting your time running around listening to bird songs. The reason this is important is because it means that birds on one island have now lost the ability to talk to each other?
Yeah, well, perhaps I don't want to overstate that. Certainly when we... Experimentally, if I take some of those songs, for instance, I took songs from the Hen Island and I played them back to birds on Motuihi Island. And what I found was that if I played songs from Motuihi to Motuihi birds, they reacted very strongly to them, to the point that, you know, some birds would come and land on top of the speaker and peck at it, you know, so they clearly recognised it as a threat. If I played the songs from Hen Island or from Kuvier Island, which is part of that ancestral line that leads to Motuihi, they pretty much ignored them. So clearly they are discerning. Whether that means when two birds from those two different islands come into contact, whether that means that they can't communicate, it's a different story. And that's part of the next project I'm working on, is actually taking birds from different islands, putting them in one place and seeing what happens.
Because as I think you note in your press release, you say that when humans, you know, that can't speak the same language, they can manage to overcome it and sometimes form lasting relationships. Birds may not be able to do that.
Yeah, exactly. So with a lot of birds, I mean, clearly the brain's quite a bit smaller, and their range, I guess, of sort of potential mates is perhaps a little narrower, but not in all cases. And it could end up being that some birds from some islands might have a mating advantage, you know, like the hen island songs, which are quite unique, that might confer some sort of advantage in a male that sings it. But we don't know that.
Kevin, you've used the words culture and language talking about this. Are you saying that birds have both of those things?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when I talk about culture, I mean that the song is what we call a culturally transmitted trait. So just like humans, I mean, we learn our language by imitating normally our caregivers. In this case, we know that male saddleback learn their songs from other male saddleback. So when they set up a territory, what they do is they learn the songs of their contiguous neighbours. And that's essentially a way of signalling that you belong to that neighbourhood.
Can we learn, you know, is there anything about this that can be taken to help us understand human language?
I think to a certain extent, what the songs in saddleback appear to do is they reflect the history of colonisation. So if we think about the peopling of the Pacific as a great example, when the ancestors of the Polynesians came out of Asia and moved eastwards out to Rapa Nui, northwards up to Hawaii, and south to Aotearoa. And if we look at the patterns of those language groups, you know, you can see similarities. There's shared words, but there's a lot of unique words that evolve within an island, probably as a result of isolation. And there's a similar thing going on with the saddlebacks.
In the original island, it's not like every bird sounded the same, though, was it? As you said, there are variations. Do we know whether those birds can still communicate with each other despite their variations?
Yeah, I suspect they probably can. I mean, it has happened over a very short time frame, so I don't want to overstate the difference and say these populations can't mix, because that's probably not correct yet.
But on the one on the first island, where the original population was, they sound different. But on the other subsequent islands, are they still sounding so diverse?
Yeah, they are quite diverse, but I guess if you think, like, that high-pitched song from the Hen Island is quite, you know, it's quite striking in its structure. And if I compare it to those more chattery songs, it's kind of like comparing, you know, an apple and an orange. Whereas when you move out to some of those translocated populations, you get a lot of variety. But then you start talking about, you know, Granny Smith versus a Gala. So they're different, but they're not as different. So, yeah, you still get that variety, though.
Does this have any implications for translocation projects?
Yeah, it does. And in the short term, possibly not. I mean, we really don't know until we try it. And so next year, what we are actually going to try doing is we're going to take birds from three different islands and mix them in a single place and see what happens. And I predict two things will happen. Either the birds won't, you know, they won't care and they'll mix straight away. Or if they do decide to mate only with birds from the same island as them, the first generation that's subsequently born at that new site will almost definitely mate. Now, if the song keeps diverging over time, it does become an issue, because sometimes we do need to mix birds from different islands for genetic management, for instance. And if the song keeps diverging over a long time period, and when I say a long time period, you know, evolutionary time, so maybe hundreds of thousands of years, it could become a much firmer barrier. I mean, it's just a basic process of speciation. If you look at a very famous example, would be the Galapagos finches, where a single ancestor flew to the Galapagos Islands from South America and subsequently diverged into 14 different species. And they have very different bill shapes now. They also have very different songs. And those two things, the bill shape and the song, seems to be important in choosing a mate. And it's arisen in isolation. And with translocation, we've ended up with the same system. I mean, saddlebacks don't move between islands. You know, they're quite poorly flighted. And so once they're on an island, they stay there. And so you've essentially got birds which are isolated in time and space. And so if the song keeps changing, then it could become important in the very long term.
So this is, again, it's all about island populations, isn't it? Which is, it was why the Galapagos is always cited, because it has particular evolutionary effects.
It does, yeah. So, I mean, islands are often talked about as the crucible of speciation, because basically it gets down to isolation. You know, once you're stuck there, then things change.
Wonderful. Thank you very much for joining us. It's a fascinating topic, and good luck with the rest of your research.
Cool, thank you.
That's Dr. Kevin Parker. Coming up after the break, we answer that age-old question, how do you make money out of New Zealand music? And we've got new music from Kids in Space.